Welcome to How to Build a Tent. This show is not about tent building, but how to make you successful. Today, we're going to talk about the GOP Tax Plan 2.0 that came out yesterday. There seems to be a lot of good stuff in it, so I'm looking forward to diving into that. If you don't know, we're part of the CrossPolitik Network. Go over to crosspolitik.com, become a member, get a lot of great benefits. If you want to reach out to me, you have any comments, questions, topics you want me to cover, if you want to have any of the links or charts that I throw up, that if you're listening and you don't see them on YouTube, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram, How to Build a Tent, and you can email me at matt@howtobuildatent.com. I'll be more than happy to send you, like for example, today we're going over a Bloomberg article and we're gonna throw up some charts, and you're gonna be missing out on that if you're just listening, but I'll do my best to describe them. So if you wanna see those, reach out to me, I'll be more than happy to send them to you. So I don't read the tax bills. I try to be as efficient with my time as possible. It's part of good time management. So I look for articles that are as unbiased as possible, even though it's really hard to find unbiased articles nowadays. So I found one in Bloomberg, and it goes through several points, the writer does, and I just want to tackle them, highlight them, throw them out to you so you can know what's in them and kind of talk about some practical applications from these points. Pretty excited with what they're doing, even though it seems like some of it is just political for the midterms coming up. The first thing is they want to make permanent the low tax rates that was passed in the original tax plan that the GOP passed, but it was only by a simple majority, so they couldn't make it permanent. And the Republicans were getting railed on by the Democrats because they were saying, you're not making these permanent, you should have made these permanent for the middle class and all this stuff. So now they're throwing it right back at the Democrats, it looks like, and they're gonna say, hey, if you put your vote where your mouth is and vote for this to make it permanent, which is awesome. We are taxed way too much. Anytime we can get tax cuts, it's a good thing. The next thing they're gonna do is to preserve the larger child tax credit. I love the child tax credit. I think our tax code should reinforce the values that we should have as Americans. Having children is a great and blessing, and we should be incentivizing that. And I think it's an added bonus for us Christians because statistically, people that are more religious have more kids. So if you're post-mill, you're really gonna love this tax credit because it's gonna incentivize more people to have more kids and to populate the earth. Next one has to do with the death tax. 22 million estate tax exemption for couples, which doubled in the 2017 law, which is the first GOP law. I just think it's immoral, first of all, because you're already taxed once on the money, and now you're gonna have to be taxed, you're taxed on your inheritance. That is immoral to me. I don't think that's right. It should be zero. You should be able to give what is due your children, your inheritance, and bless them with that, and the state should have nothing to do with it whatsoever. That should be zero. There should not be a death tax or an estate tax. So I think that the higher we can get that or to just remove it altogether is gonna be a great thing. $22 million exemption, that's a pretty good chunk of change. I don't know too many people that are leaving more than that to their kids. So overall, that's a big win as well. I'm excited to see that. The next point, it expands the medical expense deduction for additional 2 years. I'm not too familiar with the medical parts of this law, but again, just getting rid of those taxes is great any way that we can. It says under the tax law, taxpayers can deduct medical expenses exceeding 7.5% of their adjusted gross income, which is down from 10% for 2017 and 18. And this 2.0 tax plan would allow them to use the lower threshold through the end of 2020 so that they would be able to deduct a larger part for a longer period of time, which is great because medical bills are bad enough, but then you can use them for a deduction for taxes. That's great as well. So look into that if you have been going through a lot of medical issues and you've been having a lot of bills, maybe that's gonna be a great write-off opportunity for you. The next point, it says the bill includes retirement-related provisions that would allow small businesses to more easily offer 401k plans. And this also applies to education and newborns as well in the credits. That is great because majority of people are employed by small businesses. And being able to contribute to a 401k that helps with retirement, that helps with not needing as much government assistance and the Social Security, because like my generation, we're not gonna get Social Security at all. It's gonna be completely bankrupt. and probably in the next 20 or 30 years. So anything that can help a majority of Americans save up for their 401ks, free small businesses to help with investing for their employees is a great thing. We need to be looking out for our future. Love that. Sixth point, the legislation would also allow startups to write off more of their cost. Now, startups is an incredibly difficult venture to have. It's stressful. You lose probably 20 years off your life. There's so much that goes into it. You really need God's hand to bless you in it for it to work. You could do everything right and still fail. The lower that we can tax startups in the beginning is the more we're going to incentivize people to go do that. And we should, because there's a lot of great stuff that comes from startups, innovations, efficiencies. A lot of value comes into the economy with startups that are able to just come and provide value to people the way big businesses can. It would be interesting to see too, because a lot of the people in the startup world, Silicon Valley, Silicon Beach, which is Southern California, Austin, Texas, these are all liberal areas. And a lot of people are liberal in the startup community, especially the ones that are connected to investors and things like that. So it'll be interesting to see what they think about this, if they really understand that Trump's trying to help them in this area, or will they just not give him credit at all? So that'll be something to look out for. The next point says the amount the tax cut 2.0 legislation would add to the deficit would likely outweigh any economic growth stemming from the cuts, according to Alan Viard, and I'm sorry if I'm saying that wrong, V-I-A-R-D, a resident scholar at the right-leaning think tank American Enterprise Institute. So apparently this guy must have leaned just too far right and fell off his chair and hit his head, because he gets something completely wrong here. He says the deficit would likely outweigh any economic growth stemming from the tax cuts. And what he's doing here is blaming tax cuts for the deficit. So we're not taxing people enough. That's not true. If you have a deficit in your budget, it is not because of you're taxing people less. It's because you're spending more. And we're going to get into that more. But you just got to remember that people that are advocating for more taxes, more liberal policies, they love to control language. They love equivocating. They love changing the narrative. They love using different words to mean different things. And then they pull test it. All a tax cut does is let you keep more of your money. When there's a deficit, it's not because of a tax cut. It's because they're spending more than what they're getting, and they're not being disciplined, and they're too greedy and getting used to all that pork spending. And it goes on and says this. He says, Brady has previously said, and that's the writer, has making the individual tax cuts permanent would cost about $600 billion. And I love this too. Here's another point of equivocating. Tax cuts are not a cost. It says, he said that this Brady guy said that individual tax cuts would cost about $600 billion. Tax cuts are not a cost. On a balance sheet, the revenue, when it decreases, it doesn't count as a cost. A cost is what goes in the expense of a balance sheet. It goes into expense on the financial records. Tax cuts is, again, just letting you keep more of your money. And I love this chart that I'm going to throw up. It's from another podcaster, Dan Bongino. He does a great job of making this point that every time that we've had tax cuts in the recent term, that revenues have actually stayed the same or increased revenue. Even if there's been a deficit following the tax cut, it has not been because less revenue has come in. When you have cut taxes in the economy, the revenue has stayed the same, and which means that more people were able to keep their money and the government didn't lose money from revenue, and or it increased and revenue increased, which means people were more productive with their money and the government was able to tax and receive more tax income. And this chart, it's a simple chart going back from 2014 to 2019. I'm going to explain it for you guys that are just listening. There's the line above that is a steeper decline or steeper incline than the blue line, and the top line is for spending, and it's clearly over $500 billion higher than the revenue line, and the revenue line isn't climbing as steeply as the spending line. And this just proves the point that because the spending line is above the revenue line of taxes, that is what's causing the deficit. And we notice in this chart that revenue never went down. Even after this last GOP tax cut, revenue didn't go down, it went up. It went up in 2014 to 3.02 to 2015, 3.25. From 2017, when the tax bill was passed, it went from $3.32 trillion to $3.34 trillion. And then 2019, it's estimated $3.42 trillion. So it was climbing. Even from the last tax cuts, revenue never went down, but spending has climbed astronomically. So in 2014, we were spending $3.5 trillion. And now in 2019, we're spending $4.4 trillion. So almost one whole trillion dollars more. What went up faster than revenue was the spending. And that's where the problem is. So don't listen to people when they talk about how tax cuts cost money or benefits are outweighed by the deficits. That's garbage. It comes down to spending. If we spend more than we make, regardless of how much money we take in, we're always going to have a deficit. I hope that helps to give you an overview, a little application for the tax code. I think we should support it unless there's some stuff that we see come out in the next few days or few weeks that just make it a terrible bill. Who knows? You never know with Washington, D.C. I'm sure there's going to be debate and things are going to be changing and we'll talk about it again. But until then, this seems like a pretty good bill and I hope we support it. If you have any thoughts or questions about the tax bill, let me know. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, How to Build a Tent. Email me at matt@howbuildatent.com. Please share the show with a friend. That really helps. 5-star rate us, comment on our YouTube, or leave us a great review in iTunes. That really helps as well. And we'll talk to you next time. God bless.